We're about to enter part of the Haggadah where the next few pages basically take verses and break down the verses and analyze each word and explain what that word teaches us. Now, this is slightly tedious for most people. We're going to try to run through it on the one hand and on the other hand maintain the traditional tunes and give explanation so that we understand what we're doing here. Most people read this and don't understand what they're doing. So now we're going to continue our story. We're going to, again, go back in time to discuss our far back history. How it came that we went down to Egypt. Say, go out and learn. We're up to page 28. What did Lavan, the Aramean, seek to do? Lasot Yaakov Avinu. We just described how every generation has people who want to destroy us. So now the Haggadah says, you know where it all started? Well, when the people started, when the Jewish people started with Yaakov. So already Yaakov's own father-in-law and uncle, Lavan, the Aramean, wants to destroy him. Pharaoh only decreed that the males should be thrown into the Nile. Lavan wanted to destroy everything. Shneimaos, the verse says, Arami oved avi. An Aramean tried to destroy my forefather.
Can you get this t-shirt made in Hebrew based on the Vehishayamda, you think? Yeah.
Wow.
Well, in the back it just says that he wants to quit, but I mean, maybe for something more religious and badass. I mean, pardon me, again. Oh my goodness.
Let's continue. Arami Oved Avi, an Aramean, wanted to annihilate my father. Ve'ered Mitzrayma. Ultimately, we descended to Egypt. Ve'agol Shamim Teimat. We lived there in small numbers. Ve'ishanu Goy Gadol. And yet, we became an awesome nation, atzum v'rav, mighty and numerous. So now we're going to take that verse, analyze it, break it down word by word. Vayered Mitzrayma, Yaakov went down to Egypt. So first of all, Arami Oved Avi, where did Lavan want to kill us? When he chased Yaakov and his kids, when Yaakov left Lavan. So Yaakov was ready to kill it. Lavan was ready to kill us. Then God appears to him in a dream and says, hey, watch it, I'm on Yaakov's side. But Lavan was ready to kill us. That was the most blatant interference where God appears to him in a dream and says, you better be careful what you say to Yaakov because I'm on his side.
What was his claim again?
His claim? That's a good question. He says they stole his God, but it bothered him that Yaakov made all this money and got away with it. Yaakov lived in his house and he got away with all the money, with the money that he legally made after Lavan tried to trick him. The Yered Mitzrayma, Yaakov descended to Egypt, Anus al Piyadibu. So now we're reviewing. How did we go down to Egypt? Because God told us to. We didn't have a choice. Yaakov didn't want to go, even though he heard Yosef was alive. He goes and God tells him, yeah, you got to go. But Yaakov Sham, he sojourned there. He didn't settle. Guys, when I went to the United States, I kept my watch on Israeli time. People would look at my hand and say, your watch stopped. And I'd say, no, it didn't. And they'd say, but it's got the wrong time. And I'd say, no, it has the right time. They'd say, what do you mean it has the right time? It's 7 hours off. I'd say, yeah, I'm just visiting. I didn't want to switch it to American time because I'm visiting. And they'd say, really, when are you going back? And I'd say, I don't know. I don't yet have a ticket. I was there for about a year and a half on Israeli time. Because I needed time. I needed to work out the legalities. Right? Every time I looked at my watch, I had to work out. But I wanted to always remember, I don't belong here. I'm a visitor here. Right? Right? So the Torah tells us Yaakov's attitude when he went to Mitzrayim. He thinks he's gone for 400 years. Yet it says, Vayagar Sham. He remained a sojourner there. Yaakov didn't go to Egypt to settle down. It blows me away when people buy houses in Chutz Laaretz. Well, what are you doing there? You have a land you can live in. You have a people you can fight for. Yaakov Avinu goes down to Egypt. He's not going to settle there. El alagur sham. God made me go. Okay, I'm going to go as a sojourner. Shneimaos, the verse says, V'emur po lagur ba'aretz banu. That's what they tell Pharaoh. We came here, and we want to be sojourners here. We're going to pass through. The only reason we're here is because there's no land to feed the sheep, no pasture for our flocks. For the famine is so severe in Canaan. So let us dwell in the land of Goshen. It says we went down to Egypt. The next word in the verse is bimtei me'at. We had few people. As the verse says, when we descend into Egypt, how many people were the Jewish people?
70.
70. Awesome. We leave Egypt. We number 10 million. So 8 million will die. So then we're left with 2 million. 600,000 male. Think about it. Corresponding women. And you probably had more than 600,000 women because this was after the Jewish boys were thrown into the Nile. And children. So you're over 2 million. From 70. The verse is, now God made you like the stars in the heaven. You number so much. The verse says, we were there. We became a great nation. That teaches us the Jews were distinctive. Sometimes guys ask me, I'm going to Chutz Laaretz, maybe I shouldn't wear my yarmulke. So I say, if you're in a place where, like Paris, or I don't know, places in Europe where you could get beaten up or killed for wearing a yarmulke, okay, I have nothing to say. You have no choice, wear a cap or whatever it is. But if you're in a place where you're not worried about that, wear the yarmulke. So a guy says, yeah, but I'm not sure if I'm going to live up to it. So I say, right, wear the yarmulke and live up to it. That's part of the idea. Now, you're supposed to be unique. The Jews in Egypt were mitsuyanim. They were distinctive. A person isn't supposed to blend in with the people of Chutz Laaretz, the people who are not Jews. Atzum, the verse says, we were mighty. Now, this is a phenomenal thing. Think about it. The Jews are having six kids at a time. Imagine you're walking down the street and you see six guys, twins, walking down the street, and each one of them is a Hulk, you know. Big muscles, they're all working the fields, and they're all walking together as brothers. You can understand that the Egyptians felt threatened. The Jews were having huge numbers, and every one of them was huge. You know, they were big muscle men, so they were soft hearts. But they were big muscle men. The Egyptians were scared. And legitimately so. They had a demographic problem. We were numerous. We were numerous like the plants. Just like plants. You know, you have weeds and suddenly your whole field is covered with weeds. So Hashem made us like plants. Suddenly we're sprouting all over. And the verse describes, the verse describes the Jewish people as though they were a young woman who grew and developed, became charming, had a beautiful figure. So she's developed like a woman. Her hair has grown long. But she's uncovered. She's bare. God describes us as this young woman who grew up this way. God says, I passed you. I saw you downtrodden in your blood. And I said to you, I said to you, through your blood, you shall live. Through your blood, you shall live. And over here, traditionally, we say the tune, you guys, you ever hear this verse?
No.
Some have the custom. What?
Every different verse.
Where do you hear that? We say it at a bris. We always say this. And then we dip our finger in the wine and put it in the baby's mouth. We dip it in the baby's mouth. Okay. Now, we're going to quote another pasuk and again analyze it. I'm going to run through this now. You guys focused? Can I do this quickly? Okay. Give me one second.